Now we're started. How are you doing?
Hi, Clark. Folks are moving. Yeah, can you hear me?
Brian.
Is all four here?
Yeah. This house actually is the line.
Oh.
The line. He has to be out, so.
Okay, great. Can we hear Clark?
That's better, but it's, and again, it's probably not gonna, it's kind of echoey. But it is what it is, I imagine, because of the size of the room. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we're turning the volume up, so can you hear us?
Yeah.
Sort of. Can you hear us as well as you want to hear us?
Depends on what you say, Roger.
Only good things.
And John, obviously we want to call to order. And first item on the agenda would be to approve the minutes from the June 9th meeting. They were sent out to everybody. Are there any comments or corrections to those minutes?
I need to approve.
My second. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Minutes have been approved. Next item on the agenda is our revenue update. Time on this busy day to put together for us in a beautiful PowerPoint presentation.
So. I might have to sit up here so these guys can see it. All right, so I just put together just a synopsis of last year's revenue round. You see, we did $70,890 and then $1.8 million revenue. The next closest rounds and revenue was 2007, right before 2008. There were $1.25 million. And then 70,000 six rounds, 2007.
Maybe you guys don't know, but maybe you do know, this fiscal year ends June 30th.
Right.
So you're measuring.
Yeah, the one that just ended.
July 1st to June 30th.
So our new one just started in July. We get those numbers.
So all time records is rounds and revenue, correct?
Yep. Pretty good.
Well done. And that's what, 26 years, is it?
Yeah.
26.
Yeah, they had half of the year 94 or 94. Yeah. Still, yeah, I have those records too. So you look at what we did in merchandise, 214,000. Last year we did 141, which is pretty average stuff. The next highest year was 156,000 in merchandise. There, driving range 102, 31,000 last year, about 40,000 on average. And then event center rentals significantly higher over last year, but with COVID, 45,000, still pretty low. A couple of notes there: merchandise, we did 48,000. Dollars in merchandise in June. So June was a big month, and we'll continue to do that. April, May, June, were obviously with COVID still last year, July through September was still fairly slow. So I expect us to have a good chunk of merchandise revenue moving forward this year.
Have you ever had time to run an analysis on the driving range? What would you say, just ballpark, what's the net profit?
Well, each golf ball costs us 50 cents. I have to run it with labor. It's a significant money maker.
Any way you look at it, it's a lot better than what it's been
Yeah. We paid for our picker that we had to buy and golf balls that we had to purchase. So, that's our biggest cost.
This committee observed before you were hired that the driving range was a potential tremendous source of revenue that was being untapped before, and I think this is good evidence that it is the case, and I think it will still be going up too. So.
Yeah, and I won't pick on anybody that operated before, but the sense that I got coming in was the old picker was bad. Which to me that needed to be addressed years ago.
Yeah.
They were still closing it every day at 6, even when I started at June.
It was an afterthought. It was there, and if you wanted to come get balls between these hours, you could, but it wasn't being treated as an important revenue source, and now it is, which makes it a 90-day difference. So that's, if you're going to have the land out there to go into a driving range, you need to take full advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
We still have some amenities coming that I ordered. And you guys have seen them in the golf, the new bag stand, fantasy bottles.
And all those little things will bring even more people to the range. I mean, when they see that it's a first-class range, people want to come. It's a magnet.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't have time to come to play golf, but they have time to come to the golf.
Yeah. That's our revenue.
That's ours.
Yeah, that's our revenue.
So that's our net. That's not gross, correct?
Yeah.
And then
I should have put the cafe revenue on there too. We were about 22 or 23,000 in cafe sales revenue, which is 15% of their profit. They were a little over 200,000 for their gross revenue.
Having your finger on the pulse a little bit, what would you say about the future? Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Hours of operation, if you're doing, if I were running it as a small business food operation, I would be a little more excited about what I'm doing. I would have evenings, I would have weekends.
Wouldn't you think 400K for the fiscal year would be very reasonable?
Probably, especially if we remodeled it on that for 2 years. In winter months are difficult, I guess, but
this year is a weird year still because a lot of people were not going into the cafe or the grill because of COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, we were some of those people.
Yeah.
And so that makes it difficult too because that space is so small when you're trying to keep people 6 feet apart. That means you've got three tables and so it's an unusual year, but I think that's something that needs to be taken into consideration in this following year, unless we don't have to get vaccines.
Yeah.
And then we may be back doing the same thing that we've done this year.
Well, wherever you go, Salt Lake, see all the restaurants, if they had to push out of the parking lot or whatever, they all
decks,
all good big decks. They're outdoor dining. That's something that hasn't been done yet.
Exactly. Well, I mean,
tables and umbrellas outside of the deck.
And that's some of that, and people were not using the facilities, not using the tables and the chairs and because again of the same problem. You know, I'm not even going to go get my food and take it out. So it's a weird year.
Right. But let's say right now, I use the outdoor deck and I go right down the street.
You know,
there's no reason at the moment. There's 10 better places to go.
They have excellent food. They really do. They have good hamburgers, they have good sandwiches. It's a short menu, no question about it. But it's prepared well,
It runs hot and cold. I had lunch here today, and there were 12 people in the cafe when I came in, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, there's just so much room for improvement. I mean, they do nothing to market it. They do nothing to connect with actual. There's no incentive or motivation for anybody.
But I think that
he used the tag that's on the vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay. So. I, you know, and that gives you an idea. And it's like, I mean, I'm a bunch up there too today. In fact, this is my third visit to this place today.
Well, we're going to put it a little bit there, by the way.
I may need it. You know, the timer's been seen at 6 o'clock, 6:30, yeah. So.
I think that's a good opportunity to market the whole golf course. We'll talk about the GPS units, but having the ability for golfers to order on the GPS units, have geofencing areas where menus, food items, pictures, a lot of stuff we'll do for whoever's here, but for someone else.
And we'll get to that too, but you know, your concessionaire needs to be participating in the costs associated with that too.
I don't speak for them. This is my own outside perspective, but they're not, they don't want to spend any more money than they already have, because I think either the writing's on the wall for them, or after their lease is done, they don't want to do it. Like even patio furniture, I've asked them to purchase it, buy it, it's in a contract. They kind of give me excuses to not do it. And I'm to the point where if we weren't remodeling the building, I would have purchased the patio furniture already on the golf side, because I know it's a function of the golf course, people like it. Right? I'm not willing to spend $3,000 yet.
They had some last year.
They have some. They got water damaged and they don't want to replace it.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so I knew we had it.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
No, they have their vendors who will participate in providing that too. A lot of vendors will go 50-50. You know, you put their name on the umbrella, for example. You have some vendors, you know, it's usually a beer vendor. I don't know if they want to do that, but you know, they'll buy the whole thing. If you give them if you present it to them properly.
And if there's options for them, I just don't think they want to spend any money.
There's some options, right? If we move on. We know it's an area that needs a lot of work.
So July gives you just an idea. We're within $1,000 of where we were at last July.
Already
in the 14th. Well, as of July 12th, we were the same rounds of revenue. So I'm expecting this to be right on pace for the last July, which is good. I was afraid we'd have a little drop off.
Do you see things leveling off a little bit now?
Well, as far as demand, the middle of the day is not nearly as robust. I even looked through the TC and it's a little bit more spread out than this year, but it's pretty noticeable. Especially the first part of this month, we've got busy, really, really busy in the morning. At 11 o'clock, it's dead. Picks up about 3 o'clock and it's busy till dark. Just kind of put you on the weekend.
The heat is
really.
But we're doing well. So. And then this is probably a little bit bigger discussion. I just wanted to let you guys know where I'm at with them. They're working on some updated plans, updated pricing to get to the city council before the 3rd, so we know and relative what we're going to spend on the building. They should have those plans done by the 20th. These are just some minor changes from the original design that KZW did with the decking, covered area, and a few other changes that I had to make. And then get some updated pricing on HVAC, mechanical, and electric as well. We should have that by the 25th.
Are you still shooting for like four to start October 1st?
My goal.
The real necessity.
And that's obviously dependent on if we can find contractors to start and do it. If we can get funding for some of these minor things, I'll start on a lot of it that I can do as far as ripping out carpet, the simulator space down there, walls, electrical, things like that. And we'll get somebody in to finish it and that stuff. But we've got some money to do some things that we don't need to rely on. Architectural plans and changes, and we'll do that and follow away. And then we can ask some questions on that too, but biggest concern for me is getting the exterior and the roof and the windows done before we really get some snowstorms, which I'm not sure will be feasible, at least the roof. And that would probably be the first thing done. And I'll be working on the exterior too.
What kind of roof do you plan on?
Well, the I like the bar tile look, and I think we've talked about that. I think JCW initially on their design had the standing seam metal roof, which I think looks good too. Where I've also talked to a lot of roofers on a high grade, high wind graded asphalt shingle, which is going to depend on price. And bar tile guy I spoke with, I think he was up here on the 4th of July, called me the next day and said, hey, I know the roof's not done, we're still interested. So he's supposed to bring me up some samples and update the price on the roof. And I think it's really up to developing it myself to decide what looks good and what's going on. JCW will put in what the plans and estimated cost.
First, we don't have to do this funding is in our control.
Yeah.
It's not under a grant program administered by someone else. We can spend the money in advance.
Okay.
To prepare of that. So we should talk to JCW, see if they couldn't help us go out and get this for the workers right now.
Okay. Because
yeah.
Part of that would be fascia and soffit. You gotta get more.
Yeah, you can't go too far ahead of the plant.
Yeah.
You wanna make sure it fits in
the
plant. But we don't have to use like total to hire a contractor.
Yeah.
We just have to find it.
It's kind of the global warming.
And they're there. Roofers right now are looking for work.
Yeah. You know what? It's just starting to loosen up now.
I've got, yeah. I get one a week stopping my head.
Or
they're doing something.
That's even more reason for us. We could probably go out and
do it. Okay.
The council is committed to this.
Okay. Well, the roof needs to be done, whether we get money for the outside.
We're asking for that.
Okay.
And then things like the parking lot and all, they would get done next week.
That's my plan, yeah. We are meeting with Paul Morrison, engineer today. We drove the whole golf course on the golf cart path. And he's getting me an estimate on repairs. We have a cost of seal on the cart maps, which I didn't include, but that'll be part of the bond. It'll be about $100,000. $50,000 for the overlay, seal, and 30 to 50 on the asphalt repair. Then what we do.
That's actually pretty good. Well,
we talked about
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, like this. Golf course.
So these are my two recommendations. I'll run through these and we can have some discussion. I think the consensus with everybody was the club car was the nicest of the electric vehicles. I have some notes on there, what we get out of it, but the $477,836 was their pricing on their carts. That's $95,836 a year. That includes their GPS function, which is about half that cost. I spoke with Hunt Electric in the last 2 weeks. He finally got back to me on their pricing. It's $65,000 to $80,000 for them to install service and chargers, outlets. Currently, the building doesn't have enough service amperage to operate electric carts. There's really two options there. Rocky Mountain Power has to run service from the road and set up new service, or if we have enough amperage in this transformer out by the deck, they can run service to that, but it's still $80,000 to $100,000 for that, whether it's in that front transformer or a new transformer. So for electric costs to have outlets installed, we're looking at $65,000 to $165,000.
Do Club Car or EasyGo offer gas cars?
Yeah, we tried all of those.
Yeah, we tried. We drove all six of them. Did you get on to?
I didn't drive all six.
I drove all six.
I didn't. I didn't like EasyGo or Club Car gas cars at all.
Yeah, EasyGo. What
were some of them?
They were loud. They weren't comfortable to ride. It was a Yamaha, and they didn't have. Biggest thing for me is. On GPS units, and this reason I like Club Car is they have the ability for us to really dial in how fast people can go. Club Car is the only one, but they only have that on their electric car.
They don't offer that visage on the gas car.
They do, but it doesn't function the same as the electric car. You can't Clip Car is the only one right now that has the ability to say, okay, in this area, I want someone to drive 5 miles an hour. Easy Go and Yamaha will tell you what the speed limit is, but they can't control how fast the person can go. Their GPS systems will alert the pro shop.
And they can install a governor on it either?
Yamaha does on their electric cars. They have, it's a progression system that they downhill, that they can set at a certain speed, but you can't control it individually. It's all one speed or no speed.
The other thing I like about the Clip Car is that the GPS unit is up. On the other two, it's down, and it's easier to damage. The upper, at least it's out of the way.
It's up here at eye level.
It's up here at eye level, and it works very well. You can also control which paths are close. For example, if you go to a par 3 and you've got people driving on the lawn, it will stop that car. And they have to back out in order to get back on the path. And we do have a minor problem with people feeling that FEMA next to them.
And any of those three, we can set up those geofences on the course, but not allow people to drive it, which that'll be a big selling point for us.
You're allowed to walk it out for handicapped people so they can.
Do it when you check in. So if someone says, hey, I'm a handicapped body, you can assign them a certain card and give them certain privileges. So, for example, even if we had a Marshall card out there and we wanted Marshall to go everywhere and give them specific permissions. That's a simple click on any of these back end systems.
How do you feel about that price point of these Clip Cars? Or only the Clip Car?
The Clip Car was about $70,000 cheaper than the Easy Go. The Yamaha, the Clip Car and Easy Go were the only two lithium batteries operated. Yamaha has they call it their gel ACM battery, which is a non-water battery, but it's not a lithium battery, so you still have that degradation of battery, and it was nice, but for the cost, my preference would be the electric Clip Car.
I mean, the Clip Car is obviously a superior product, but does it work for the big price?
Well, we'll get into that. So if we look into the gas.
Let me ask a question on the electric. I mean, they typically require electric maintenance. Does it have a longer life? I mean, can you get 6 or 7 years out of it?
So there's a 5-year warranty on the lithium battery. That's both. So the Clip Car has a 5-year warranty. There's no yearly maintenance. Turn them off in the winter. That's pretty much all you have to do. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the savings I have on here. It's probably really 10 to 15, but I put 10 on the low side. That's 10,000 savings in gas. That's 10,000 savings in maintenance. That's 10,000 savings really to repair. That's kind of what they all told me. So it's not significant compared to what it costs for the fiber.
Clip Car is also a better built car for it's stabilized. It's more stable, if you will, on that. I always told people, it feels like a truck versus a car. It's going to be a little harder to damage going around corners, looking it over, which you do have a minor problem with here.
If your car is nice and going down, too.
The problem with Yamaha has a bad reputation for brakes, brake cables, and things going out.
It does, and that would be part of
We know that. From our experience.
What's the title of one?
Recommendation is the Yamaha car, which I had numerous conversations with Mike last week, the Highland Golf rep for the Yamaha cars. This is what I'd recommend on the gas side. With the lower cost, we could get a lot more of the premium features, ball washer, club washer. The Vantage system is a little bit, they used to have Yamatech, which was the Yamaha version of GPS. They're now switching over to Vantage, which I don't have a picture of it, but it actually it won't be up and it won't be down. They kind of hook it onto the steering wheel and it kind of comes up eye level. And they're nice. They're probably the nicest of the three.
It's actually just a little bit on an arm.
Yeah. So they're real nice. Their Vantage guy came and gave me a demo and walked through it. Out of the three systems, I liked it the most as far as customer service side. They're working on some things on the back end that I would want to require the options to go to the tournament operation. But they said that they were doing that. Now, the cost for the gas is $298,000 and just a little under $60,000 a year. If we did stay with gas, I'd have to spend a little bit of money to fix the tank that's out there. There's some things that once it gets below 250 gallons, we can't pump gas. We've already replaced a lot of the pump and all of the boats, but a few other things we still have to fix.
Just like the valve, you got 80 parts. You know, I believe you got 18 holes, that parts is 36. Why does golf course need 80 parts?
Well, we have a lot of tournaments that are 144 or 152 players. And we generally have one or two carts that are down.
So you have two groups on each hole for a tournament that's an occasion.
That's 70.
Yeah, 80 is pretty much the standard for 18 hole
golf. You have web additional carts than
we have for, you know, we had a tournament a month ago that had 156 players, but they needed four or five carts for people to run around and do. So we've done the carts to be paid for. You know, we even talked about getting more. Now, I originally had bids for 84 carts, but I kind of.
So on Bluff Car, are you still dealing with Highland equipment, or are you good to go right through Bluff Car?
Still Highland. Yeah.
Still for Highland.
Randy Gamewater. Or not Gamewater, Randy.
That comes with a service contract, correct? Which is important. Yeah. Well, have you had a chance to come to the owner, John, to see if the cost to put in the electrical and everything is going to balance the?
Yeah, and Court might have some things to say too. He was texting back and forth on this. The cost. Here's my thoughts on them and why I would recommend just staying with the gas parts on this current fleet. The cost for electrical is so much, and the cost difference between the gas and electric vehicles is so much that for $370,000 to $400,000, we would never make up that cost. And if you think, you know, 5 years from now we'll have another electric fleet that we're going to purchase or lease, there's an additional cost on there. So it's just going to be a rolling total where we're digging ourselves in the hole, which I think if you're thinking everything is static and stays the same, electric would make sense. But I'm not so certain that 5 years from now that we won't have a hybrid cart, or the state might require every golf course to have electric cart to give grants to do those things like California did. And we're a little more conservative than California, but there's down the line, I don't know what that the unknown is. So for the time being, I would suggest not putting electric in, sticking with the gas parts, doing some of these amenities to make it new and nice features.
As part of the remodeling, is that something that you think about for your transformers and et cetera?
I think that's probably certainly something we probably need to do, especially if we have the funds to do it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So you're talking about a one-time fix to build in the electrical capacity.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
And that's what Court mentioned to me earlier, is if we have the money to do it, why not do it? And that's the flip side of it.
But the one time to make it compatible for electric cars, $100K, that's a big ticket. Well, I agree. I don't think we'll ever recuperate that initial cost, but that's why I was asking you if Yamaha was definitely the only gas cart can do that.
That's pretty much the standard turnover on fleet vehicles and golf courses.
Why do you?
Yeah. Some courses are 3 and 4 year leases. Most of the max I've seen on any of them is 5. But, you know, that's the whole turnover. There's still golf courses that are doing, you know, purchase half now and half later. And, you know,
what kind of agreement does Highland or Yamaha directly under one
for the club car, yeah.
And do they prorate it or
no proration on the lithium ion battery club car?
And what about the car itself? What if you get a limb on that? I keep thinking about all the brake cables that went out on the cars, which was really in that time.
Yeah, and I think we could have gone looking at the agreement, original agreement with Yamaha. We could have gone after them for lost revenue on the carts when they were down.
But,
yeah, they didn't charge us for it.
Yeah, long process. In the meantime, Island brought some carts up in the Lemon Farm, which seemed like a band-aid approach.
Yeah.
One of the questions that comes up is solar. I mean, can you get any benefit with solar here? You might not have to upgrade your electric if you put the solar in. In my house, my electric bill is $12 a month for 12 months a year because it generates so much in the summertime.
After you put it in, how much did you spend?
$65,000.
So, I mean, recoup that $65,000.
It takes about 8 years.
And
if
we're doing a roof,
that
the time
to yeah, as soon as you have a new roof, that's the ideal time to put it on.
Yeah.
The life of the solar and the life of the roof are about the same.
Yeah.
And I've called in around one of the solar. They haven't heard that yet. But I tried to get some
maybe JZW is the person too. But
I did ask Hunt Electric on that. So he said there's, for those that on the golf carts, you wouldn't have space for current wattage of solar to be able to charge. It would supplement. You would.
You mean even with the roof?
Yeah. 600 amps is a lot. That's much more than what this entire building. I think we have 500 amps on this entire building right now. And that's with all the individual little HVAC.
When you charge, do you do a rotation? Do you have to charge all 80 at the same time?
No, so they with the club cars you can set up with their GPS units, you can set up times and charge. I don't know if you can do, I know you can do times where you charge them all at the same time or different times. I don't know if you can do different outlets on different times. I'm not sure.
That's what I was wondering.
Can you charge
80
cars overnight?
Yes, on the lithium batteries.
So the question is, government money for its home, municipal buildings or anything. Well, look at that.
I know there used to be homeowners, so why not businesses?
Yeah.
Let's have solar carts, you know.
Right. Yeah, we might have some.
It just won't be operable on Sunday.
Yeah. You have to avoid the snow, but other than that.
Well, I was going to say, you know, actually, the only time development generate is when it snows, because even on an overcast day, even like with all the smoke out there, they still generate about 90% capacity.
Yeah, it's just the snow when it covers it.
Yeah, it blocks it. Yeah. We just had a service with Blue Unit that tells you how much you use. It isn't connected to the internet, right? But we asked the guy, do you ever need to clean them? And he said, no. The material they're made of, it's good enough that everyone while on rains and cleans it off, nothing sticks to it. So it's not like a window we have to wash every once in a while.
Cool.
Yeah, so I mean, everybody wants the body parts the bottom line is, you know, 500 days is a budget break.
The other question comes up, I mean, if through the city's buying groups and all that, have we priced any other vendor? I mean, there are these parts available for somebody else in all of these city buying programs.
No. That's the.
So club cars, Ingersoll Rand.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the city is doing this. Probably not.
Hey, all right, well, maybe we can sum up. I mean, yeah, what Kyle has presented here certainly appears that the gas option financially makes the most sense with his recommendation. Pretty hard to justify the holding amount. So I think that probably
do think I agree with Karen that at the very least we need to look at when we are doing reconstruction on the building, remodeling, that we look at having this future proof in the building, having Rocktown Power on service.
Update everything, the electrical, the plumbing, everything can be updated. That's the time to do it.
And even if we have to, the front barn is closed, you know, they've got a wind tower up on the road. We're going to be redoing the parking lot. We get time to trench power through, and we can even put a transformer out from the building site close to there if we need to save some money. And I think that's the court's point is, at that point, maybe we wait on the carts for this fall and see where we're at once the building's done. The only thing with carts right now is, they're looking first quarter delivery right now. If we wait for second quarter, and then if we wait until October, November, then we're into the next fall.
Yeah, if you want them when the course opens next spring, probably have to order 4 weeks or
when you're out of existing carts,
yeah, we still have this. That's the other thing to think about. We have another $55,000 payment in August on this current fleet. That's the last one. So it's really a matter of do we pay for the depreciation on a cart by trading them now, or do we get a lower trade in next year? We're kind of, it'll be sixes, I think, on cost.
Yeah.
But depends on what you guys think.
Has Island given us a ballpark on what the trading figures would be?
Yeah, I've got all of them.
Okay. So, and is that figured into this? Or,
yeah, that's what's
that a net figure? Or
yes, that's net. So that's with our trade.
That's with the trade, yes.
Okay. And then the cart cost is significantly lower, but you're looking at 30 to $35 per cart per month for the GPS. That's the biggest cost. And the Yamaha carts themselves, I think, were 112,000 over the to purchase them new. The other 170, 180 is for the GPS. Those are your costs. You know, and some of that I'll recoup with advertisements.
So they got to work up here.
Yeah, both of them ran through. They put together heat maps for me and said, "Yeah, you don't look like you're losing service." And that's why they moved over to this Vantage system, and that's maybe why I like them the most. Is they run off of AT&T and T-Mobile and GPS, whereas Club Card is just GPS and I think AT&T. So this Vantage system, wherever you're at, they take the best signal as you're moving along, and the other ones, they don't.
That's good. That's an important consideration because we have such spotty service.
Yeah,
AT&T especially is poor.
I think T-Mobile is probably the best one. So
that's AT&T piggyback off this tower right here.
T-Mobile and Sprint.
Oh,
I don't think there's any AT&T at the golf course.
No, we're trying to get it to come up there.
The Verizon pulled their small tower out of the shop, which wasn't going to get into it.
So where's the closest Verizon tower?
Probably a farm, but I don't get any service here.
I have Verizon. I used to get good service right here at my home, but lately.
Yeah, we used to get that. I think this tower we got over the shop.
Yeah,
they did that.
But that tower doesn't have Verizon on it, I don't think.
No.
We had a proposal a few years ago, right about the 11th, right at the tunnel under the road there. They were going to put a water tank in. Well, it looked like a water tank. It was that Eaglewood Golf Course on it. It had a cell tower inside. And the residents, Montclair and Eagles Landing residents, just went ballistic on us. And I think we were going to push through anyway, but Verizon just failed. They didn't want to deal with it.
That's all I have.
So, just report. I guess, do we have any other questions or comments? I guess the next question would be, we have a pretty tight time frame if we look back to getting the public hearing by August 3rd. Today's the 14th. Do we really think we're going to be able to meet that package?
Yeah, I mean, the basic plans of what they have are really similar to what we approved on the original JDW plan. The only things that are changing are HVAC mechanical and updated, and a little bit of storage, structural changes to allow more car storage, and the deck change there. Other than that, it's pretty much the same as what you guys approved on the original design. And they're just updating their pricing.
All right, I guess the question for Ken. I mean, so on August 3rd, we're not going to have bids or anything. So this is going to be what? Just a recommendation to the council of what's going to be included based on what the architects have done?
Yeah, it ought to be what? You mean for the building?
Yeah.
Yeah, it ought to include everything that, that we think the resolution. Hopefully it'll be based on the cost. I think the way this model works is it's got to be flexible because you don't know what the contract is going to do. You can just be operating off of an architect's estimate. So I think they're going to stick with the 8.5 million to include until we get right down to
I will say that they've already approved the concept.
They've approved the their bond.
Okay, so on August 3rd, then,
August 3rd,
if I'm just
Canadian. No, not necessarily. I mean, August 3rd is a public hearing for the public. I know that you have much. Tyler and I are trying to put together what we think the bond should include for every building. So we've got the cart path prepared, parking lot. So we're going to try to be able to recognize and help the everybody.
Some irrigation system.
Oh yes, irrigation.
Yeah.
Which I think we know.
Yeah. Most of that. I'm waiting on the on winding cost. I'm west of the town next week, but I'm hoping to hear at least an estimate from them. The controllers, most of the costs we've got have been lower than what we were expecting. And we had in this year's budget $30,000 for controllers already budgeted. And that was at $7,800 a controller. We only had, we bought three, but we were going to buy three. We have purchased them now, but we're going to wait. We had Toro come up and give us evaluation and cost. We were to buy all 31 stations, and they came back to $4,200 a station. So significantly lower cost. We were thinking $200,000 for controllers, and now we're $120. And even they gave us the cost to install them, which was $20,000, which we thought was incredible.
The cost estimates are important, but I think the most important thing is for us to not leave anything out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we can't run anything off.
Yeah.
So so at the very least on the third, I think either we need to present at the conference of the so here's everything that we think we could be able to do.
Yeah.
If we don't have a firm cost estimate for all of it, I don't think that's the end of the world. But we do need to have a list.
Yeah, an itemized list of what needs to be
included. Would it help if we have a committee before the third to go through that list to make sure that?
Yeah, I'm starting to put it together now and I'm happy to share that with
you. You know, we can do a Zoom meeting to get the committee's recommendation.
See if there's anything that anybody
can do.
At least we can make a motion.
I wonder if we maybe next week, even. Well, maybe on the, I think the know, before we get into the
government. Yeah, I think if we do it on the week of
Tuesday, the 28th.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the 24th of July stuff. So
I'm happy to meet anytime, 29th even.
So is this the problem then that the council chair
here? Oh, that's right. We have to have those out.
Yeah, seven days before. Well, it's just that the material has to be prepared, sent to the council on the 29th. So we could do a meeting on the 28th, not too late, but if we could meet on the 27th, that's better.
Monday's better for me anyway.
That's a Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Monday,
Tuesday's fine.
Tuesday's fine. Okay. So Tuesday the 27th, we could do a Zoom meeting. That would be really perfect. I think it would be short meeting. I think it really can be helpful to have your life. So we can say in the council material before the meeting, we can say, the draft committee discussed this on this date, and they have motion to approve it.
That's what I'm
saying.
Yeah. And so when we go into the public meeting, this is basically the ballpark. So. Yes. Laundry list of what needs to be done.
So what all is on the list so far?
Building, cart paths, controllers, online, parking lot, simulator, everything inside. Electrical, mechanical upgrades. I got kind of a semi-estimate back from that today, $140,000 for HVAC. That's what their NRC, ERP, or like the brand new top of the line stuff. It was almost the same price to redo this current one. And it's the whole new stuff. So, everything that I can think of will be in the landscaping, concrete work, doors, even the gate on the maintenance shop, camera system,
simulator,
you know, really nice audio video system and event center. And I've got the list of wishes, and I've got kind of priority on paper. Now this, and I'll throw this in. So it'll be pretty comprehensive.
I mean, the only question, and I guess it also raised, are we looking at any of this, especially the renovation of the banquet facility, generating more revenue? Obviously, the heat is very low now. I mean, I think that would be important to have some ballpark on that, because, I mean, that offsets your cost.
Yeah.
Facility more rentable, you might get that rent. So
I do think that we need to present that information to the council. I don't feel that August 3rd we have to have that. The council has, based on the strength of just the enterprise fund, he's been here a year and a half, they felt comfortable that the issue with debt. So, but I do think when we get close to decisions like, okay, we're going to present an operator to the council here to look at our business.
Yeah, you need to be able to quantify it.
Turn on the best. You need to say it.
Or kill.
Here's what we think in the session there. Yeah. I mean, we can work on it. The August 3rd is not a good job.
Right. I think. Right. This another question for comments if it comes to the meeting agenda. Anything from anybody online? Now, I guess we have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All right, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Please. Thanks, Tor.
Yes.